Right now, it is time to bring in Arthur Schwartz. It's time for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Arthur joins us on a Monday morning. We talk about food, food, food. And Arthur, I don't know if you know it, but a former WCBS employee listens to you, along with a lot of other people, on our on-demand page and online. And he put a post on Facebook all about the meatballs.
Oh, yeah, John Belmont.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
He is. And, of course, I have to love him because he promotes me all the time. And no, he made my meatballs for Christmas.
Yep.
Yeah, I made my meatballs last week before Christmas, but I always have to be ahead of the times, you know. It's like, oh, there are these firemen, were they firemen? No, football players, sorry, in Philadelphia, that did an album of Christmas songs.
Yep.
And they was, first of all, they said this was a lot harder to do than they thought it was going to be, and now I lost my track. But anyway, I'll get back to it. I am focused instead on the new year. Happy New Year, everybody. Hmm. And it's now up to 20 degrees here in Brooklyn.
Yay!
I never wear hats, but I'm wearing a hat now. It is, the wind whips around my corners. It must be -0, no, under zero. Anyway, I'm focused on New Year's, and you know, everybody, that I watch TikTok, and what I discovered on TikTok is that there's this trendy thing of a butter board, meaning yep. You smear butter on a board, and then you top it with whatever you top it with. But who knew that this was, in fact, a thing? I mean, I thought it was a joke when I first saw it on TikTok, because there's a lot of things on TikTok that are just a joke, or at least made to, put there to make you smile. So, but no, it's apparently a real trend, and it was started by a restaurateur in Oregon. He is a farmer, vegetarian, you know, farm-to-table restaurants in Portland, I suppose. And he wrote a book in 4 years ago. And in the book, he outlined the butterboard thing. And then somebody who is on the butterboard thing is, by the way, I think it's a pretty good idea, except that I wouldn't put it on a board. You know, put it on a beautiful platter, ceramic platter. It's a lot safer. In fact, sidebar, there was a story in Forbes magazine about the butterboard and its health hazards. And one of them I thought was obvious and silly to even mention, which is, you know, you shouldn't need a whole lot of butter. You know, don't need a quarter pound of butter per person. And but an important point is that wood is very porous. And if you're putting butter on it and blah, 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 it's not exactly the healthiest place. I wanted to counter the Forbes article by saying, well, you know, hot, soapy water, which I've been doing for years, is a safe way to get any bacteria off your board. You've got to have really hot water, though. And I guess some boards, bamboo boards, you could probably run through the dishwasher. I hate plastic boards, but what I do have, and I could do a butter board on, is this is a clever idea for anybody who collects good wine, or not even good wine, just wine. Or has a store nearby that gets some wine. I say good wine because you want the wooden boxes that good Bordeaux, for instance, comes in. The ends of those boxes are very decorative. It doesn't have to be an expensive Bordeaux, but go to your local store and see if they have any, if you want to do this. And then you cut out a piece of plexiglass that fits over it. And it should overlap by a quarter of an inch on either side. And you can screw that into the wood, and you now have a very decorative board with a protection on top. There are probably other ways to do that, but I'm not that crafty. You know, it's probably you could do a polyurethane kind of thing or something like that. You just keep putting coat after coat on a wooden board and seal it. But anyway, the butter board could be the butter platter. And I like this idea. And it reminds me that I, years ago, when I did entertain on New Year's Day, I'm not a New Year's Eve person at all. In fact, it's hard for me to stay up until midnight. But the next day I enjoy, and we, as a kid, you know, my sister and I were required to stay home on New Year's Eve pretty much, while my parents did go out. And then in later years, I don't know, I'm not a New Year's Eve guy. But New Year's Day I love. And we always used to go to my grandparents on New Year's Day, which was always a wonderful experience because my grandfather was a wonderful cook. And everybody really was jolly that day. My grandfather was even off from work, which was rare, on New Year's Day. So I like New Year's Day. And I used to, a big indulgence for me is charcuterie and cheese. So that is, in fact, how I was entertaining 25 years ago, platters of cheese, indulgent cheese, and there, I'll give a little advice here for making a cheese board, and what they now call a charcuterie board. You know, I don't think we called it a charcuterie board. I said, we got a lot of delicatessen, a lot of cold cuts. No. I would say salumi. Back then, it's the Italian word. So if you like that word better, salumi instead of charcuterie, they mean the same thing. It's cured meats. Salumi board. On your charcuterie or salumi board should be some kind of ham. Could be prosciutto, could be Spanish ham, it could be some kind of could be very thinly sliced Virginia ham, but I don't know where you get that, actually. A Westphalian ham. Then you want some bologna-type product, meaning a emulsified pork filling, and that could be mortadella. In New York City, there is a butcher. I'm not sure where their main plant is located, Carl Ehmer, E-H-M-E-R, and their products are distributed all around New York City. You might be able to get Carl Ehmer bologna. They make a really good bologna packed into a natural casing. It's very good. I must say, it's better than a lot of domestic mortadella.
You know, when I lived in Kingston, Carl Ehmer actually had a store across the Hudson River. This is a long time ago. A Carl Ehmer store. He had an outlet there.
Well, I'm sure that they exist because I see the products in some supermarkets, and I do buy some Carl Ehmer products. However, I have not seen the bologna except in a small fancy food store in my neighborhood, which is very tragically closed now because of a fire. But, it's a hard product. So and also you want some kinds of salami on your charcuterie board. And as my father pointed out to me when I was young, we would go to the Jewish delicatessen to get various meats for what we never thought of to call a charcuterie board, but, you know, an array of delicatessen meats. Salami was always a good filler, he advised. That's the least expensive of all the products, and so you can get a lot of salami. And, you know, there's so many different kinds of salami, and French salami, and Spanish salami, and chorizo is a kind of I'm calling that kind of salami. And, of course, various kinds of Italian salami are available here. Then there's, you put together a varied tastes. If there's something spicy, if you're going to an Italian market and they have something spiced up, that's always good to put on for those who like the spice. And then you have to have something to put it on. Now, bread. So, but I'm, now, not for a charcuterie board. For a charcuterie board, I do want bread. But for a cheese board, I actually prefer crackers. I mean, some people like bread, so have both. I mean, if this is a party, you should have everything. By the way, either a charcuterie board or a salumi board and a cheese board are both perfect accompaniments to wine. So one of the things I used to do was open up the bottles of red wine that should be opened. because they've been sitting around too long and I don't have the perfect storage space. Of course, if you have a wine cellar or someplace where you can actually put your wine down for years and years, and it's good wine to do that with, then, you know, you're not in a hurry to open bottles. Or maybe you are. So I actually have a couple of bottles of Bordeaux here, which are were a gift from a friend who used to be in the wine importing business and is no longer, and is trying to get rid of some wine so he can move from his apartment, which so I'm lucky. And this is actually motivating me to do cheese on New Year's Day with a couple people I know who will be around. Everybody I know is sort of traveling this time of the year. I hope they're okay. My friend who went to Florida to visit her family, her sisters, was delayed by a whole day, but she got fair warning. But then when she got to the airport, she was waiting 3 hours for the flight to take off, and then they sat on the plane for an hour before they took off. So, you know, it's not easy to travel. That's why I stay home, truly. Cheese board. So with a cheese board, you also want variety. For instance, I know I have some friends who do not like smelly cheeses. And in fact, you should put the smelly cheeses on a separate tray or board, because even, people will turn their nose up at the good cheese because it's on the same board. Cheese has gotten very expensive, and I eat cheese pretty much every day. I can't afford expensive cheese, but I'm always looking for a nice, buttery, mild breakfast cheese. And I have various ones that I buy, Taleggio, for instance. But just the other day, I discovered that Gouda is very inexpensive. I bought this really, I think it was only like $9 a pound. So I've got this really big hunk of cheese that lasted several days. So Gouda is a good bland and buttery cheese. I think it's overlooked these days. It's probably too inexpensive. It's like the cheapest bottle of wine on a wine list is hardly ever ordered. Nobody wants to order the cheapest bottle. So, by the way, it's a good bit of advice. Look at the cheapest bottle the next time you're in a restaurant that has a wine list. Anyway, the next the cheapest bottle is what people go for. The cheese board. So you want something buttery like that, and also something, I think, nutty, which and also appealing to the non-smelly cheese people, would be Gruyere. There's a lot of good Gruyere around. Cave-Aid Gruyere, a commercial Gruyere. I mean, really, I haven't bought a bad piece of Gruyere in a long time. It's really very good. And Comté, which is the French version of Gruyere, that's around a lot too, and that doesn't cost an arm and a leg. And the one is interesting, I think. I'm a lover of real Swiss cheese, meaning made in Switzerland Swiss cheese, authentic Swiss cheese, which is also called Emmentaler, is actually called Emmentaler, but we call it Swiss cheese. And there are a lot of products that are not made in Switzerland that are called Swiss cheese. Now, there is a German so-called Swiss cheese that could fool you. But real Switzerland Swiss cheese has a wonderful nutty taste that is inimitable. So you used to be able to go into a delicatessen and get real Swiss cheese. It's very hard to get these days. You have to buy it in a block, in a hunk. So do. It's perfect for a cheese board. Then you get the creamy cheeses. Of course, everybody knows Brie, but most Brie is pretty bland. Look, it's a nice, runny, creamy cheese. It's pretty bland these days. Camembert usually has more flavor. And up by you guys in Chatham, is the, they make, what's it called? Is it called the Old Sheep Farm, Marshall?
I'm not sure.
My brain is going. But yeah. In Chatham, New York, right over the border practically, is a great cheese company that makes a sensational goat milk camembert. And I buy that in my neighborhood. And also, you should look into the triple creme cheeses, which, despite their names, are not really more calorific, to use a word, than not-so-creamy cheeses. So the Saint-André is very easy to find. I don't know. I love those cheeses. I find them very luxurious to eat. And I like crackers. I mean, yes, bread, if you can get... There's nothing like good bread, but crackers are very convenient, I find. And I can eat just a few. And I'm going for whole grain crackers these days, of which there are many brands out there that are good. And then there's also that they call it New York flatbread. But I don't remember New York flatbread being from New York until, I would say, the mid-70s maybe. I don't know if you remember this, but I actually knew the first people who made this commercially, and it was an accident with them. They were making focaccia, and I don't remember exactly the story about it not rising right, but in the end they put it through a pasta machine and baked it off, and it became these crackers. I used to make my own crackers, which is sort of fun to do, but I'm over it. And the whole point of a cheese board, a charcuterie board, a butter board, a whatever board, is less work for the host. You just put it all out and let everybody serve themselves. By the way, so I just discovered something, that there's something called a peanut butter board. This I actually think is a great idea, especially for a kid's party. But don't use a board. Use a big platter. Spread peanut butter out on the platter, and then you can top it with things that kids want, like M&Ms or sprinkles even. I would like to make sections. So you could have a section that's nuts. You could have a section that's chocolate chips or grated chocolate. You could have a section that's M&Ms. Or you could do a drawing, you know, an image, I should say, with M&Ms on peanut butter. I mean, think of it. Make flowers with the M&Ms. So many things you could do. In fact, it's a thing for kids to do. You could each eat, how about you get each kid a plate smeared with peanut butter and then tell them to make an image on top, and then they can eat it. You could even give them cookies to put it on, or crackers. Or you could do it healthy. You could do nuts and bananas. I happen to love banana and peanut butter.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
You don't like peanut butter or banana?
I like peanut butter, but I don't know about having kids sit around a table.
Why not? My niece, who's only 6 and a half, she'll tell you the half. It's become very important lately. She's actually closer to 7. She would do this, for sure, and do a beautiful job of it. She was given the job of arranging the family's 5 menorahs with other Hanukkah tchotchkes on a table, and she did a beautiful job at age 6. She would love to do this. I'm only gearing it by the kids that I know, but I have a 9-year-old and a 6-and-a-half-year-old in my life, and I know that they would get a kick out of that. Cream cheese. You could do it with cream cheese, too.
You know, when I used to go to Super Bowl parties, everybody used to go. I used to love, the thing I loved the most was the crackers and cheese.
I still like crackers.
I would load up my
crackers and cheese for dinner the other night.
I would load up my plate, and I'd keep going back. Forget about the barbecue wings. Forget about the chili. Forget about this. You know, no one can have bad crackers and cheese.
Well... You can. But you're right, it's hard. Although, I may try this. I got to find it again. I saw this probably on TikTok, I'll admit. Making your own cheese whiz. You make this cheese fondue, basically, and you put it into a CO2 canister. You know, like they make... different foams of this and that. By the way, I've tried making foams of this and that, and what I discovered is to make it a good foam, it has to be a high-fat product, like cream. So I would think cheese works very well. Anyway, I saw it work well. Will I get it to work well? We'll see. But you make a fondue, you pack it into the canister and with the CO2 cartridge and squirt that out. But you can do really good cheese, though. You know, I've just bought some super-aged Vermont cheddar, gotta say. Sensational cheese. I bought a lot of it. So I would spare some of it to experiment with.
You know, people with these, like what you were talking about, the butter board. You know what some families are doing now? And this I saw on TikTok. Is they gather their kids and everybody around the table. They cover the table with big plastic, and they dump out a big pot of spaghetti with marinara sauce in the middle of it. And then they put, you know, like sausages and stuff like that, and you just dig in and
well, I'm glad I didn't see that.
I couldn't believe it when
I saw
it.
On the other hand, now listen, this is serious. In some places in Italy, usually cold mountainous areas, where they make polenta in general, one way to serve polenta communally is to spread the polenta out on a wooden board and then top it with ragu and then top that with the meats that cooked in the ragu, sausage, bracciole, whatever it is, meatballs could be, not usually meatballs, gotta say, but meats, even big hunks of meat. And everybody gets a fork and you eat it right off the board. Now, I have to say that I have had a lot of fun doing this. And I once went to a party where the board was, I mean, it was like, it must have been an 8-foot board, and it was carried out very ceremoniously over the heads of several waiters and put in the middle of this very gregarious group of good friends. And we ate this polenta. So I came home and I was consulting to a restaurateur at the time who had Italian restaurants. And I said, oh, this is a good idea. Why don't we try this? But, you know, we could just do it for tables of four. You're not going to do six. You're not going to do the big, big thing, but you could have tables for four. He loved the idea, and the health department shut it down. They said, you can't do this on wooden boards and have different people using the wooden boards. So it wasn't going to be as, let's say, romantic. To have plastic boards or something else. So we gave up on the idea, but I still like the idea.
That sounds like about 5 years ago when we were set up a booth at a trade fair, and we set up a couple big tubs of jelly beans, okay, for people to take.
Oh, there's a good one for a board.
But what happened was the Department of Health came by and said, you need spoons. So I said, well, why do we need spoons? He said, because of the transfer of germs. I said, well, we got little cups. People dip the cups in. It's the same thing as having a spoon. Matter of fact, if you just have one spoon, everybody touches the same spoon. So I won my argument, but the guy was really upset at me. I just thought, you know, if you
got little... Yeah, because you won.
Yeah, that's right. He was
upset. You were right.
He was upset
that you won.
Before that.
You were right. The cup is... Yeah,
we had little cups. You just dipped it in, and you walked away with a cup of.
Well, you do see it when you go to shows, or I don't know. I guess maybe even at fairs where they're giving out samples. They always, you know, they have one cup marked used toothpicks, and the other one filled with new toothpicks.
I just said to the guy, "How did we ever live through the 50s?" That's what I said in the 60s.
How did we ever live? Period. Let me say this is funny because it's corrupt, but maybe. It's changed, but there's a store I used to go to. Well, I've been there recently, but it's not fun anymore because they used to have all this wonderful kosher Jewish food on display behind glass, but also on top of the counters. And I like to take groups through to give them a little, a Yiddish Food 101 lesson because it demonstrated a lot of stuff. Anyway, the health department came along and made them stop doing this. Everything's got to be refrigerated, you know, or heated, and I forget the temperatures. And the health department is correct.
Yeah.
But there's a store nearby that's still doing this. So I said to the owner of the store that's abiding by the law, although I didn't realize what was going on so much, he said, well, I abide by the law. They think they're above the law. And he says, and that's because they pay somebody off to be above the law. So they, you know, and so this other store had their food displays all over the place. And, you know, like big birds, roasted birds on top of the counter. I don't go there. I don't go there, not because the food isn't good. I don't go there because I don't want to support their lawlessness. And the other store, I go to buy stuff sometimes, but I don't take groups through it anymore. Well, I don't take groups through anywhere anymore. But that's the case. So health department, you know, it's interesting because in Europe, at least in France and Italy and Spain, places I go to, in Western Europe, food is kept healthful, but it's not. They're not obsessed with the having everything covered over. And, you know, I don't like shopping in stores that have all the vegetables in plastic either.
You know, we used to have various churches and organizations that would have chili contests and stuff like that, and they're all gone now because it has to be made in a certified kitchen.
Yes. Well, I know plenty of illegal certified kitchens. Because I have the tamale lady. She makes them at home, and my housekeeper delivers them because it's her neighbor. I have the a lady who makes me, because I'm not doing this myself. I love mole.
Oh.
But, you know, to make a mole is a day's project. And I'm not familiar, you know, it's not something I do. But I do love mole, so I have a lady who at home also makes mole paste. There's a guy who makes prosciutto. I'm sorry, pancetta, not prosciutto, pancetta. And I somewhere in Bay Ridge, I don't know where, in his basement, I buy that. So we do have illegal black market foods here in Brooklyn, anyway.
Yeah,
I'm sure they're all over.
Now, there's a couple of a family opened up two stores, one in North Canaan and one in Armenia, Tequina and Las Pina. Anyways, they serve Mexican food, and there's no reason to make mole when you get someone that makes an authentic mole.
Yeah, exactly. Let me just say that I do like eating at home, and I do like mole. So with the mole paste, now you can buy mole paste in the supermarket. It comes in jars, various brands. I don't know what the better brand is. But when I do it, I just poach chicken thighs in water with one smashed clove of garlic in the water and some salt. Not a lot. You can add it later. And I poach the chicken until it's done. Take the chicken out, and you have really quite a nice broth. And four thighs takes about 2 cups of water to just cover the chicken and cook it gently. Takes a half hour-ish. Maybe 40 minutes, depends on the size of the thighs. And then take them out and put in about a cup, which is probably a jar full of mole paste, and bring it to a simmer. Stir it in and bring it to a simmer and let it simmer for 5 or 10 minutes. And then I like to turn it off. I find it thickens up as it stands. So turn off the heat, and then when you're ready to go to eat, you can bring it back to a simmer, reheat the chicken gently in the mole, and there you go. Rice.
Sounds good, yeah. All right. Well, I'm glad you had a good weekend.
Well, it was cold.
Yes, I know. It was cold. It was
Christmas yesterday, so I went out with Jewish friends to eat Chinese. It's a tradition, you know.
What'd you order?
What'd we order?
What did you order, yeah.
Well, we ordered, we all had soup because it was pretty cold. Yeah. We walked to the restaurant, and it was pretty cold. So everybody wanted soup when we got in there. So I had hot and sour soup. This is my neighborhood Chinese, nothing fancy. And in fact, I order in from them, but the food is so much better eaten in the restaurant. I must say, last night, yesterday, lunch actually, we ordered things that I order at home, but it's so much better in the restaurant. Yeah. So we had, I had hot and sour. Bob and Steve had egg drop with wonton. I don't like their wonton soup. And then we ordered lo mein, roast pork lo mein. They have a pepper and salt shrimp, which are lightly breaded fried shrimp on a very, it's basically an iceberg, shredded iceberg salad with both sweet red pepper and hot jalapeno peppers. And it's salty. We liked it a lot. And it right out of the fryer is so much better than ordering it in. And also, not my dish, but two people wanted it, General Tso's chicken. I don't like it because it's just too sweet for me. Maybe I had a piece or two. And then we were ready for a third, to order one more course. And they gave us the bill because they thought we were finished. And you know what? It was way busier on Christmas Day than any other day I've ever seen. And I walk by this restaurant all the time. It's right on my corner. Well, it's a long block down, but still. And it was jammed, and there were people first coming in at 2:30, 3 o'clock. So we thought that later it would be busier. So all the Jews in the neighborhood went to Mr. Wonton.
All right.
Well, there are two other Chinese restaurants in the neighborhood. I bet you they will fold, too.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll speak to you next year.
Well, you will be, yes. And, yeah, it'll be next year. And you know what? Bean Day, I forgot to even mention. New Year's Day, you have to eat some kind of beans or lentils. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven this morning, here on The Breakfast Club on Robin Hood Radio.
Report for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, Hillsdale Home Chef. More information, 518-325-7000, hgshomechef.com.